Last night when I looked at the readings for today, I looked at the gospel, of course, looked in the Anuman way. I said, oh, we must have made a mistake. Same gospel. Same gospel we had last Sunday. Of course, I was the one who was mistaken. This is deliberately chosen for the Feast of St. Matthias, but it is the same gospel we had on Sunday, and we had this gospel also last Thursday and Friday. So in the space of 8 or 9 days, we have this gospel 3 times. Perhaps others would say that just happened that way. But the Anuim approach to the liturgy is that no, this passage is deliberately repeated for us because of its importance for us. And it is a very important gospel, the commandment of love, the joy that God wants us to have, the joy which he wants to be complete in us, the definition of the greatest love, of friendship, and then the part that is certainly the reason why this gospel was chosen for today's feast, the part about being chosen. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. St. Matthias was chosen. So that's why this gospel is read on his feast day. Another reason is because there isn't any gospel that mentions Matthias. He's not mentioned anywhere in the gospels. In fact, he's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible except in the first chapter of Acts, which is where we got our first reading from. So Matthias is, there's no reading for Matthias except the one we had in the first reading. There's some speculation that Matthias may have been among the 72 whom Jesus sent out. We could have read that passage because it's about apostolic mission. But the emphasis of the church today is not on the mission, but on the choice. That's why when they pray in today's first reading, they ask the Lord, they have chosen 2 candidates, and they say, Lord, you who know the hearts of all, show us which one of these 2 you have chosen. So God chose someone to replace Judas, and they ask, well, show us who it is. It's connected to what Jesus himself said at the Last Supper. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. I chose you to go. I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. Now, when we reflect on this idea of being chosen, we have to go back to the one who was chosen before Matthias, that is Judas. Matthias replaces Judas. Well, Judas was chosen. He was personally chosen by name, by Jesus, to be one of the 12. He did not remain. He did not bear fruit. This tells us that being chosen is not a guarantee of bearing fruit. We have to cooperate with the choice of God. God chooses. It's his initiative. But we also have to choose. Choose to say yes to the choice of God. Judas said no, and he fell away. So does that mean that the plan of God is thwarted by our sinful choices? No. It's affected, yes. The unfolding of God's plan is somehow mysteriously affected by our refusal, but it's not stopped. God chooses someone else to replace us. If we say no, God will choose someone else, which is a very encouraging thing. In other words, the work of God isn't going to stop simply because of sin. He's going to continue to build his kingdom, to make known the good news. So we're reflecting on being chosen and responding to the choice. Matthias was chosen. We don't know anything else about him, except that he was chosen. And we know that he remained faithful. He's a saint. He's an apostle. So, however he responded to the choice, there are some traditions about how he was martyred, but we don't really know. In the first reading, we hear about how the choice was revealed by the choosing of lots. There were two who were proposed. Matthias was one of them. The other one was a man named Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus. I like to reflect a little bit on this Joseph, because we're in the year of St. Joseph, so that when I saw the name Joseph, it jumped right out at me. Another Joseph. Now, this might seem like a stretch, but whenever we encounter the name Joseph, it should be a reminder to us of God's way of choosing humble, seemingly insignificant background people as part of his plan. Of course, the most prominent Joseph in the Old Testament is the Joseph, son of Jacob, the Joseph who was sent ahead into Egypt. We know that story. And so if you look in the Bible, the Joseph who's usually referred to is that one. But there are some others. There's a Joseph in the book of Maccabees. There's a Joseph of Arimathea, shows up at the cross, remember? He's the rich man who helps bury Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea. Barnabas, his name is Joseph. They call him Barnabas because of his charism of encouragement, but his real name was Joseph. And then there's this man, Joseph, who we learn from this passage was with Jesus. He was in their company from the baptism of John all the way to the ascension of Jesus. So the whole time, here's this man we've never heard of. Actually, never heard of Matthias either. These two guys were with them. They were qualified to be witnesses of the resurrection because they saw the risen, they saw the Lord before his passion and death. They knew him. They ate with him. They saw him risen, so they qualify as witnesses of the resurrection. There's no record of their experience of the resurrection. Most of the resurrection appearances were to the 12 or to Mary Magdalene. There is a tradition which says that Jesus appeared to 500 disciples at once. So maybe that's what's referred to here as being witnesses of the resurrection. But Joseph was not chosen as one of the 12. If you've ever not been chosen, you can reflect on this experience. If you've ever tried out for a team or a part in a play or applied for a job or any kind of a grant and you didn't get chosen, you know how it feels. Well, I tried. I was thought to be qualified. Turns out it wasn't for me. And that was God's will for whatever reason. Probably this Joseph looked like the more likely candidate. He has these three names, which in the Bible would signify some kind of prominence. He's called Barsabbas, which is a reference to his father. Bar means son of, so he was son of Sabbas, I guess. Maybe his father was a prominent man in the community. Why he has this third name, Justus, I don't know, but he must have been a person who had some prominence, or he was known, he had all these names. Matthias is the little fellow who nobody knew, he only has one name. And as it turns out, Matthias is the one chosen. So the mystery, the providence of God's choice. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with this Joseph. He fades into the background and continues to serve, so we assume. God's choice for him was to do something else, not to be one of the 12. Remember, most of the disciples of Jesus were not chosen as apostles. Only 12. And now here's the 13th. Well, most were not chosen. That doesn't mean that they were not chosen to be apostles. It doesn't mean that they weren't chosen to be teachers or to be evangelists or to be servants or to be administrators or to be one of the other roles of service of the church. If we're going to reflect on the mystery of being chosen, we have to let God not only choose, but choose for what? Yes, he chooses apostles, and the representatives of the apostles now are the bishops. So yes, he chooses bishops, but the bishops aren't the only ones chosen. We're all chosen. We're not chosen to be bishops, thanks be to God. Who would want to take Judas's role? Who would want to sit on the seat of the bishops nowadays? But anyway, we are chosen. God, it is not we who chose him. He chose us. And why? Because he has appointed us to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. That fruit is the result first of God's choice, but also of our choice. We must choose what God chooses. Choose whom God chooses. If God chooses us to be an apostle, then we have to be willing to be an apostle. If God chooses us to be a humble servant in the background, we have to choose to be a humble servant in the background. If he chooses us to be rich, like Joseph of Arimathea, we have to be rich and use the money to honor the body of Christ. If he chooses us to be poor, we have to choose to be poor. If he chooses us to be unnoticed, forgotten, like St. Joseph himself up until just the last few centuries, yes, without complaint, serve the Lord. This is how we bear fruit. We bear fruit when we choose what God chooses, when we unite our will with God's will. Certainly St. Matthias did this, even though we don't know what he did. We know that he said yes to God. Probably this Joseph Barsabbas Justus, he probably did too. The model that we have before us in this year of St. Joseph, is St. Joseph. Most of what he did, we don't know because it's not recorded. But what we do know is that he was an extraordinarily holy, humble, just, courageous servant. So he stands as a model for us. As we begin now our novena to the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with his gifts so that we will unite ourselves with the will of God, that we will choose what God has chosen, and that we will bear much fruit.